Welcome to Asbury. I'm Brother Hammett, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. As you prepare to worship with us on our live stream, I invite you to make space wherever you are for worship, if you're able. You may want to silence your devices and make yourself comfortable, maybe light some candles. Please do take just a moment and let us know that you're here. You can do that in a couple of different ways. The first way is to scan the QR code on your screen. All you have to do is open the camera on your phone or smart device and aim it at the screen, and you'll receive an invitation to open our sign-in webpage. Or you can just make a comment in the chat or like the video. If you're looking for a church home, you're always welcome at Asbury. If you'd like to visit about joining the Asbury family, just email me at the address below, and I'd be glad to work out a time when we can visit. I pray that God blesses you through this service today. We'll begin in just a moment.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. What a joy it is to be in worship with you today. All of you here in the sanctuary, those of us joining online, we're thankful you're here, and we pray that this worship service is a blessing to you. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here. My colleague is Reverend Hammett Evans, and he'll be preaching today's message as we continue on with our series titled, Won't You Be My Neighbor? The sermon title is The Three Mysterious Strangers, which sounds like the title to a scary story. Hopefully it's not a scary sermon, and so we pray that the message is a blessing to you. This morning, when you have time and when you have a chance, log your attendance if you would. We have connect tabs on our bulletins that you can drop into the offertory. And then if you're online, there should be a QR code that you can scan. And please make sure that you log your prayer requests. We would love to be in prayer for you. Small announcements before we get started. First of all, our youth have made it back from Ozark Mission Project. If you've been on Facebook, you have seen some of the pictures, and the week was such a blessing for us. We had 14 students and three adults go. We endured 100-plus degree heat and changes to our designs, and one associate pastor that may have locked the keys in the bus. But the kids did get to learn a very important skill, which is how to break into the bus. And so we did that. We got the keys out at no charge to any of you. So amen. But we had an amazing week. God was powerful among our students, among our adults, and the people of Rogers were a blessing to us as much as I hope we were a blessing to them. And our last announcement is this afternoon we have a wonderful kids event that's going to occur out at Maumelle Park. It's a family picnic, and it's going to occur from 4:30 to 6:30. And so hopefully we see a lot of our children out there and that they can come out and have a good time. There will be food and there will be water games because it'll be a warm day. And so we hope that those kids are out there. And with that, I invite you to prepare your hearts and minds for worship. amen. Please stand and join me as you are able for our call to worship, which is found in your bulletin. People of God, run to our welcoming God. People of God, proclaim your love for the God of love. People of God, sing God's good news to the world. Amen. Please remain standing for our hymn of praise this morning. We Walk by Faith. It is found in your Faith We Sing book, and it's on page 2196. Amen. Let's together join our voices in the invocation. Loving God, you remind us that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Open our eyes, our faith, and our hearts that we may perceive and celebrate your presence. Give us eyes, as Abraham and Sarah before us, to see you on our doorsteps as you promise us unimaginable joy. Give us the faith of Paul to trust your eternal and unfailing love. Give us hearts empowered by your Son, Jesus Christ, to show your compassion to the harassed and the helpless. We ask in the name of Jesus, who reconciles us to you and sends us forth to be your reconciliation in the world. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. You'll see the lyrics of this song are in the bulletin. Probably by about the third verse, you'll get what I'm doing. And so you can join along with me on that. This is an old African-American spiritual. And we learned it from some friends of ours who got it from the Carter family. Close enough.
I'm going down to the river of Jordan, the welcome table. Oh yes, I'm gonna eat at the welcome table some of these days, hallelujah. I'm gonna eat at the welcome table. I'm gonna eat at the welcome table some of these days. Sing in the heavenly choir. Oh yes, I'm gonna sing in the heavenly choir some of these days, hallelujah. I'm gonna sing in the heavenly choir. I'm gonna sing in the heavenly choir some of these days. I'm gonna put on the silver slippers. Oh yes, I'm gonna put on the silver slippers some of these days, hallelujah. Gonna put on my silver slippers. I'm gonna put on my silver slippers some of these days. Sit down by my Jesus. Oh yes, I'm gonna sit down by my Jesus some of these days, hallelujah. I'm gonna sit down by my Jesus. I'm gonna sit down by my Jesus some of these days.
Amen. Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks this morning for our ability to gather as your beloved children to praise and glorify your name. Now we thank you for the abundant blessings that you continue to pour into our lives, blessings that are meant for us and blessings that you pour through us to bless others. Now we all gather this morning at different places in our lives with different troubles and concerns and fears and frustrations, and we rest knowing that you meet us where we are and that you're at work in our lives in a mighty and powerful way, that your will is being done, that it is always being done. We know that in the end that you win, and we love you, and we are so thankful that we are your children. God, this morning we pray for all of those who are hurting. We pray for all of those who are lost. We pray for all of those, God, who have turned from you. We pray that through some means they find their way back home. And hopefully that can be through here at Asbury United Methodist Church, that we move beyond our spaces to live out the gospel, to share your love and the image of Christ with all of those that we encounter. We pray this morning for all of those who are in hospitals, who are undergoing surgery, who are recovering from surgery, who are just hurting and in need of your healing. We pray this morning specifically for Clifford Smith and for June Glazier. We pray for Fred Williams, for Barbara Clark. Pray for Megan Arnold and for Joyce Dennis. Pray for Doug Chenault. Pray for Gene Hammett. Pray for Mark Schimmer. We pray for all of those, God, who sit at the top of our hearts, the front of our minds, and the tips of our tongues. We pray for all of those beautiful children in Arkansas and beyond who are find themselves in foster care, who are in need of a forever home. God, may you move your children into their lives to bring them into a place of love where they can grow to know you. We pray this morning for all of those whose names we don't mention but are near and dear to us all. God, above all else, we give you thanks for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that he has done that we cannot do for ourselves. We thank you for all that he has taught us and continues to teach us, everything that he will show us as we grow in our faith. And God, we thank you for the power of prayer, the ability to bring our burdens to you, but also our joys and our gratitude. We also thank you for knowing how to pray. Jesus taught us that with the Lord's Prayer. And we now in one voice will say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare our hearts and minds for this time of offering, I wanted to let you all know that at some point in the next few weeks, we will have a presentation during the Sunday school hour that will just cover the hundreds and hundreds of miles that our youth group has traveled this summer. We'll have photos and testimonies and all of that. It's an opportunity for you to come and learn how this beautiful group from Asbury has truly been the hands and feet of Christ this summer. But I do want to share one special moment, and it was a recurring moment this week at OMP. We all know about the heat and the building ramps and painting houses and all those things that occur, and I love that stuff because I'm a lunchbox Christian. I want to pick up a hammer and go to Stone Soup, and I want to do the work, but it's amazing the way God meets us and transforms us. Every night at OMP, we worship, and at the end of worship, you have an option to just stay and be in the sanctuary and experience God quietly. And every night, the majority of our Asbury kids stayed. And they were a large majority of those in the room. And what started to happen was they would go to the altar, and they would all kneel alongside each other, arms locked, praying together. They would stand over each other and pray over each other. It was one of the most beautiful things I've seen in all of my life. And it was all ages, from seventh grade up. And so God had an amazing impact. And it's your gifts that make those things possible, to let those kids experience those things. And as long as you're willing to continue to support that, I'll drive the bus. Sound good? All right. As we prepare our hearts and minds for this offering moment, let us go to God in prayer. Gracious, loving God, I thank you so much for this ability to participate in your kingdom building process that you call us to. God, we never always know how our gifts of time, talent, and resources will impact the world. But we always stand amazed when it works in a more powerful way than we could ever imagine. And so through all, God, we trust you and we lean into our faith, knowing that as we give, that you are going to put those resources to work in a way that is powerful. And so, God, we thank you for the ability to do it. It is a blessing for us all. And it's in your Son's beautiful name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
may be seated.
Special message with Brother Hammett.
Well, good morning. How are y'all? I want y'all to say hi to a friend of mine. Would y'all do that? Did you see Miss Lisa that played the dulcimer a little while ago? She and I have been friends for a long time, like 30 years or something. We went to college together. And would y'all say hi, Miss Lisa?
Hi.
But you know, there was a time, now I know that I could go to Lisa's house pretty much any time, and she would serve me a meal. You know, I mean, if I was hungry, she would feed me, don't you think? We've been good friends, and she could show up at my house, and I would fix her a meal. But there was a time when I didn't know Lisa. So how do you think we got to be friends? How do you become friends with somebody you don't know? You get to know them. How do you get to know them? You ask questions like, where are you from? And I know my friend Lisa grew up out at Primrose United Methodist Church, and her family lived right across the road from that church. And I've actually been to her mom and dad's house back in the day. So, but I didn't know that when I met her. But I got to know her by spending time with her, by asking questions of her. She asked questions of me, and we had a whole lot of fun together. Amen? Did some silly stuff, stupid stuff. So the reason I ask you that is today, in this reading that Brother Nick's going to share with us in a minute, it's a story about Abraham and Sarah. Do y'all remember Abraham and Sarah in the Bible? Does anything stand out about them at all? Okay. Well, they were really old. Really, really old. And God told them to leave their home and family and go wherever God sent them. And so they went. And they traveled for about 24 years. And so by this time, they're up, like, Sarah's 90, Abraham's almost 100. And God told them that they were going to have a baby. What do y'all think about that? I'm shocked by it. I mean, I'm just like... She was 90 years old. My grandmother is 94. And I asked her yesterday, I said, Granny, what would happen if somebody told you were going to have a baby in a year? And she laughed and she said, I would ask, how do you know? So anyway, one day Abraham and Sarah, these strangers come to their house. And Abraham and Sarah treated these strangers like family. That's what we're going to see in the story. They were completely unexpected, but they treated them like family. They welcomed them to their home, and they got to know them. They asked, there were some questions, there was some dialogue, there was a lot of eating in that. And because of that, what they found out was one of those strangers was, guess who?
Jesus.
It wasn't Jesus, but it was God. Yeah. I mean, this is Old Testament, so we want to be careful there. But anyway, one of them was God. One of them was God. And God said, basically to Abraham, because you have treated me in the form of a stranger so well, I'm going to bless you with a child in a year. You and Sarah are going to have a baby in a year. And so I think, for today, what we're going to be thinking about is when people that we don't know come to church, how do we become friends with them? How do we become friends? So what do you think? Like if somebody you didn't know came to your Sunday school class today, what's a way that you could show them that they were welcome here? What could you do? You could do what?
Ask questions.
Hey, who are you? Where are you from? What grade are you in? What else, Hannah?
Greet them.
One of the things that we can do is, like, we know each other really well. Like, we're all friends. The people that go here are really good friends. And sometimes we talk about stuff that only we know. And so sometimes when a guest is with us, we want to talk about things that include them, that aren't just about us. Does that make sense? And I know, like, when I'm somewhere and I see somebody that's kind of off by themselves, I always try to go and sit with them and spend time with them and get to know them. Those are some very simple things that we can do to make people feel welcome. So would y'all pray with me? Let's pray. God, thank you for being with us, and help us to see you in the strangers that we meet, and help us to love everyone that we meet, especially those that we don't know yet. Help us to find you in the stranger. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham at the oaks of Mamre while he sat at the entrance of his tent in the day's heat. He looked up and suddenly saw three men standing near him. As soon as he saw them, he ran from his tent entrance to greet them and bowed deeply. He said, "Sirs, if you would be so kind, don't just pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, so you may wash your feet and refresh yourselves under the tree. Let me offer you a little bread, so you will feel stronger, and after that you may leave your servant and go on your way, since you have visited your servant." They responded, "Fine, do just as you said." So Abraham hurried to Sarah at his tent and said, "Hurry, knead the seeds of the fine flour and make some baked goods." Abraham ran to the cattle, took a healthy young calf, and gave it to a young servant who prepared it quickly. Then Abraham took butter, milk, and the calf that had been prepared, put the food in front of them, and stood under the tree near them as they ate. They said to him, "Where's your wife Sarah?" And he said, "Right here in the tent." Then one of them said, "I will definitely return to you about this time next year. Then your wife Sarah will have a son." Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were both very old. Sarah was no longer menstruating. So Sarah laughed to herself, thinking, "I'm no longer able to have children, and my husband's old." The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Me give birth at my age?' Is anything too difficult for the Lord? When I return to you about this time next year, Sarah will have a son." Sarah lied and said, "I didn't laugh," because she was frightened. But he said, "No, you laughed." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Nick. Good morning. Welcome to Asbury. And it's nice to see y'all today. I hope it's cool enough in here. I'm a little warm in my jacket. But welcome to our Won't You Be My Neighbor series. One of the things that we take pride in at Asbury, and we have prided ourselves in over the years, is being the friendliest church in town. And it's the middle of the summer, and we're not seeing very many visitors this time of year. A lot of folks are away on vacation, and with the surge, some families have returned to worshiping online. I checked yesterday, and 40 households worshiped online over the last week. In this service alone, we're having about 40 households in each service that are worshiping online every week. Welcome to those of you who are watching now or later on in the week. So today we're digging into a story from Genesis where Abraham and Sarah greet some uninvited guests like they were family. Let's pray. God, we do thank you for being with us today in so many ways. And we pray now that you will pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. It was hotter than a chili pepper in an overcoat the day that the strangers came. A sultry breeze whimpered through the oak leaves. Abraham sat in his tent, turning the sun-baked soil with his walking stick. Like rings in a tree, his hands told his story, a story of walking and wandering and waiting. 24 years had passed since the Lord had called. "Go," God said, "go from your country and your kin and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." 24 years of walking, wandering, waiting. Haran to Canaan, Canaan to Egypt, Egypt back to Canaan. Along the way, God promised land and sons. Abraham believed, but faith did not bring fatherhood. About 10 years in, Abram and Sarai decided to take matters into their own hands. They incubated and hatched a plan to have a son through Sarah's slave girl, Hagar. Soon enough, Hagar conceived, but Sarah's jealousy got the best of her. She treated Hagar with cruelty, and Hagar, heavy with child, ran away, only to be met by God. God told her to return, and soon Hagar gave birth to a boy. Abram named him Ishmael. God hears. Abram was 86 years old. About the time Ishmael became a teenager, the Lord came to Abram again. God once again promised land and descendants, and in return, Abram would obey God's commands. As a sign of the promise, Abram and all the other males in his family were to be circumcised. God changed Abram's name to Abraham, and Sarai's name to Sarah. And God promised to give a son to Abraham by Sarah. Now, I really don't mean any disrespect, but to say that Sarah was beyond her prime would be quite an understatement. At this point in the story, Sarah was 90 years old. And I know we have a few nonagenarians, maybe one or two here, and perhaps joining us online as well. I mean, what would you say if somebody told you you were going to have a baby in a year? I told you what my granny would say. I'll tell you what Abraham did when he heard it. He fell down face first on the ground and laughed out loud in God's face. He said, "Can a 100-year-old man father a child? Can 90-year-old Sarah have a baby? You have got to be kidding me, God." And then he begged God to bless Ishmael instead. God said, "No, Abraham, you're going to have a baby with Sarah. I'm going to bless Ishmael too, but the promise that I'm making will be fulfilled through the new baby boy." So Abraham was mulling all this over, sitting outside his tent on that hot day, when he looked up and he saw three strangers, three men standing nearby. Abraham ran over to meet them and bowed low to the ground as a servant would, as a sign of honor. He said, come on, stay a while if it pleases you. Why don't you let me get you some water so you can clean up a little bit, and won't you stay and have a bite? You look mighty hungry. Then you can get on your way." Well, the strangers were kind of surprised by Abraham's offer of hospitality, but they said, "That sounds good to us," and so they stayed. Abraham ran back over and went inside the tent where Sarah was. He told her to take three measures of flour to prepare it and make some cakes, like some biscuits. Now, when Abraham says three measures, this is the part that we miss unless you read your footnotes in your Bible. That's why they're there. Three measures of flour is 15 quarts. It's 3¾ gallons of flour. That's a lot of biscuits, y'all, amen? Then he runs out to the pasture and he picks out the best young calf and tells a servant to take it and butcher it and cook it. Abraham showed his guests the finest hospitality the ancient Near East had to offer. Veal, a special dish of yogurt with herbs, and all the homemade biscuits they could hold, and more. As the strangers began to eat, Abraham stood by to see to every need they had. So the strangers asked Abraham where his wife Sarah was. And this must have come as a surprise, because her name has not been used in this story so far. How did they know her name? He said, "Well, she's over there in the tent." And one of them said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah will have a son." Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent. And as I said before, Sarah was well past her childbearing years. But Abraham was no spring chicken either. And so she laughed on her breath, and I cannot find a translation that puts this the way it is in Hebrew. And so I'm going to tell you exactly what she says. I promise this is a direct translation. She says, "After I'm old and worn out, I'm going to have pleasure with that old geezer." That's what she says.
Some people give Sarah a hard time because she laughed, but at least she laughed to herself. Abraham fell down in front of God himself and laughed out loud, and I probably would have done that too. But one of the strangers was not laughing at all. And that stranger, it turns out, was the Lord. He said, "Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? And why did she say, 'Am I really going to have a baby now that I'm old?'" You see, Sarah was not around when the Lord told Abraham she was going to have a baby years before. And it sounds to me like God is scolding Abraham for not telling her that good news. So Abraham responds the only way most of us men know how. Kind of goes, "I don't know." And God says to them both, "Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? I'll be back at the right time, and Sarah will have a boy." Once again, God restated the promise made long ago. Well, Sarah was terrified. She was embarrassed, not so much that she laughed, but that the stranger overheard her. And she said, "I didn't laugh." And I think God responds like this, "Oh, yes, you did. Oh, yes, you did, Sarah." Well, months passed, and sure enough, the Lord made good on the promise. Sarah got pregnant and had a son. Abraham was the ripe young age of 100 years old, and he named the boy Isaac, which means "he laughs." And if I say it in Hebrew, you can hear the ha-ha in it. It's Yitzhak. Did y'all hear it? There's a little laugh in it. Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." So when have you been a stranger and someone welcomed you like family? I mean, like Abraham and Sarah, Michelle and I love to travel, and the last trip we had planned was to go to Italy in September of 2020, and that did not happen. But one of the things that I've missed about traveling over the last couple of years is being a stranger. Because to travel well in a foreign land, you have to learn to trust in people's good graces, and you learn to receive their hospitality. I've told you before, Michelle and I lived in England for a year, and I know occasionally we have some of my English friends join us online, and I want them to know that I don't mean any disrespect by this next part. It's just to say how different we are in some ways. So anyway, the first 2 or 3 weeks were really intense. Super intense, living in a different country. We were fish out of water. Everything was so different. Of course, I had to learn to drive on the other side of the road, on the other side of the car. And if you've never done that before, at first it's like driving in a mirror. It's terrifying. And right turns are the absolute worst. We almost got killed several times making right turns because they're our left turn. And so driving 15 minutes would wear me out, and I would just drive. We'd drive 15 minutes, drive back. Next day we'd drive 20 minutes and drive back. It would just wear us out. So we lived there for a year, and those first 2 or 3 weeks were intense, like I said. And a lot of that had to do with, living in England, you would think that they spoke English, amen? And they say they do, but the folks in Norfolk, where we live, do not talk like Daphne on Frasier. They have their own distinct accent and their own expressions. And they had been married in with Dutch people, and so it had this really Germanic kind of ring to it, very hard to understand. So every personal interaction took every ounce of concentration that I had. It was absolutely exhausting to visit with people. On top of all that, the English have all these unspoken rules of etiquette, and they're kind of born with them. They're in their blood, and they know them, but they don't tell them to anybody. And so we were always making some kind of faux pas. To be fair, they were too, but we were on their turf. They said a couple of things to us that they had no idea what we thought they meant. But anyway, the English are not hollering people, amen? They don't holler. We hollered. We said that we wanted our fish and chips open, and then we tried to sit and eat them in the chip shop. Can't do that. We ate biscuits, what they call biscuits, we call cookies. We ate cookies before they were offered to us. Very rude. I went to and visited this lady one time. I could not figure out how to politely leave. I stood in the door. I thought this was going to be a 30-minute visit. I stood in the doorway for 2.5 hours. I think that visit lasted 3 years. And some nights I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm still in that house. It was so stressful. I went at my first hospital call. I made a hospital call yesterday. I made hospital calls for 30 years. Go make this hospital call, and I knew that this woman, her husband had passed away just a couple of weeks before. And in seminary, they trained us, you know, to kind of tease out what's going on, what's the underlying thing going on. And she started talking about her husband who had just died, and I thought we were really getting somewhere. And then she said, never mind, and started talking about the flowers in her yard. And I didn't know what to do. They would have told us to bring that back up, but I didn't. I just left it and finished the conversation with her. Didn't know what that was about. Very stressful. But then we went to Nadine's house. Nadine was about our age. She was a single mom. She lived on a farm there with her daughter. And she invited us over for tea and biscuits. And we were sitting there at her table in her kitchen. And it didn't take long for us to figure out that Nadine was very different. I don't care what her accent sounded like. She was a Southerner, amen? And so when we figured that out, we started asking her all these questions. And she helped us to navigate that basic etiquette stuff. She said, my decision not to bring up the woman's husband again was the right decision, because that would have been terribly offensive. Saying never mind and moving on is a polite way of saying, I really don't want to talk about this right now. She told me how to exit politely, and this is what she said. She said, Hammett, here's what you do. You're sitting down in your chair. You stand up straight. You say, right, I must be off, and you walk out. I would never do that at your house, amen? But I did it. Right, I must be off, walk out, totally fine. We like our Southern goodbyes too much, anyway. So we were strangers in a strange land, as far away from home as we had ever been, but I have never felt more welcome, more at home, than I did at Nadine's table. I tell you that stuff because visiting a new church can be a lot like visiting a foreign country. Every church has its own personality, its own ways of doing things, its own culture. And a lot of those things that we do as a church family go unsaid. We are just consumed with them. We don't even think about them anymore. So I want you to think about who has made you feel at home. Who has made you feel at home? And more particularly, if you didn't grow up at Asbury, if you weren't born into the Asbury Church family, who was it that made you feel home here in this place? I didn't know some of these folks, but I hear the name Bill Jones a lot. Who was made to feel at home by Bill Jones? Raise your hand. What about Wally G? Raise your hand. David Moore, Tom Weir, I can raise my hand for that one, Roland Shelton, Alan Keith, a few hands, Dick and Val Carr, they're not all deceased. What about Vicki Logan? Yeah. What about Coach Sirks or Ron Paulson? Now, who else? Who did I miss? Did I miss anybody? Jim Britt. Mary Noble. You see, it's in our hands now. It's in our hands now. When a stranger walks through the church doors at Asbury United Methodist Church, God calls us to welcome each and every one of them as if they were our family. because they are. So how do we do that? And this is a review. Some of y'all do this already very well, and it sounds so simple, but these things are so important. First thing that you can do to make people feel at home at Asbury is go up and introduce yourself. Can we say that together? Go up and introduce yourself. And I put my foot in my mouth a couple weeks ago, met somebody that has been coming here for about 6 months. You know, these masks, I know y'all really well from your nose up. And I saw somebody in the hallway. I was like, have we met? And they were like, oh, yeah, we know. I'm so-and-so. I was like, of course you are. Oh, my gosh. They came back the next week. But it's okay to be embarrassed sometimes. You do that. But, you know, somebody might tell you they've been coming here since God was a child. And that's only a bonus. You've made a new friend who already goes to your church. No harm, no foul. I'll say this, though. It's worse to say nothing. It's worse to say nothing. I don't visit the church very often, but every once in a while when I'm on vacation, I'll go visit a place. And I was out in Atlanta, and I visited this huge mega church that's in my godson's neighborhood. And United Methodist Church, every resource imaginable. I walked in, had no idea where to go, had no idea what to do. Would you believe that not one person in that gigantic church welcomed me? Not one person, even during the greeting time in worship. Nobody said anything to me. If I had been looking for a church home, I would not have gone back. Second of all, so that's the first thing. If you see somebody you don't know, go up and introduce yourself. You're either going to meet somebody who already goes here, or you're going to make a new friend. Second of all, keep your eyes open. And this one's really important, especially this is kind of what I was saying with the children. A lot of times when we come to church, especially in this kind of rebuilding after COVID period, we are so happy to see each other that we get stuck there. And we don't open our eyes to the newcomers who are in our midst. So you watch for people who don't know where to go. A friend of mine visited the church for the first time, and she had her two little children in tow. And she comes into their greeting area, and it's just jam-packed with people. And the people are covering up all the great signs that were in that building. She's trying to figure out how to get one child to the nursery, another child to Sunday school. And she's just kind of looking around confused with a baby in her arms and one in a... It's crazy. And so, but a church member in that church noticed her and went over and introduced herself and then asked her how she could help. And then she took that guest to the nursery and then walked her all the way to the other side of the building to the Sunday school class for the other child. And then she invited her to go to Sunday school with her. That guest ended up joining the church, joining that Sunday school class, and she made a whole bunch of friends there. And that brings us to the third and final thing. I can say these are simple things. Introduce yourself. Look for people who look like they don't know what they're doing or where they're going. The third thing is introduce the guest to somebody else. When you meet a guest, introduce the guest to somebody else. You know, church consultants have done a lot of research on what helps people stick to a church family, what helps them take root and stay. And you know what it is? It is friendships with seven church members. Did you hear that? Friendships with seven church members. Now, that's not just people that know your name. These are people that are friends of yours that you can call on the phone and you go out and eat with and stuff like that. So when you meet a first-time guest, it's important to introduce them to another family who will then introduce them to somebody else. And it also helps if that family that you introduce them to is about their age and stage in life, which is yet another reason to know your church family as well as you can. So three simple things. Introduce yourself, ask how you can help, and introduce the guest to somebody else. That's how we make strangers feel right at home in God's house. Now, what I love the most about that story about Abraham and Sarah is that when they welcomed those strangers and showed them extravagant hospitality, they welcomed God. And God blessed them with the promise of new life. With the promise of new life. You know, there has been so much death over the last two and a half years. So much change. Churches have been shuttered off and on for way too long. People are now worshiping online and in person. And the church consultants and experts say that it just expedited a process that's been going on for about 20 or 30 years. This decline in the church in the West. Things are so different now than they were 3 years ago. And that yet the one thing that Scripture promises is that God is still God. Amen? The God of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Ishmael is still God. God comes to Abraham and Sarah and says, "Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?" And the answer, of course, is no. Nothing is too wonderful for the Lord. Do you believe that? Nothing is too wonderful for the Lord. God brings laughter from our tears. God brings hope from our despair. God brings new life out of death. God's promises never fail. God will always find a way into the future for us and for our church family. All we have to do is, like Abraham and Sarah, is to be faithful. Welcome strangers like their family. Show them extravagant hospitality. And trust God that nothing is too wonderful for the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, Amen. Let us pray. God, we do thank you for being with us today and for coming to Abraham and Sarah long ago. In the midst of their barrenness, you offered the promise of new life, new birth. And so, God, we pray that for our church family, that as we come through this surge and as we move into fall and as more guests begin to come and arrive at our door, that you will help us to welcome them with your extravagant hospitality. Help us, as Jesus taught us, to look for him in the stranger. God, we pray that for our church family, we pray that you will bless us with your presence, bless us with your Spirit, and remind us that always in you, better days are ahead. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen. Let us stand now and affirm our faith through the words printed in our bulletin or on your screen if you're joining us at home. This affirmation is called, God loves us. God loves us. God cares for us. God blesses us. God tends to us. We are God's precious fruit and faithful seed. God hears us. God helps us. God trusts us. God tries us. Sometimes we are more faulty seed than precious fruit, but no matter what, we are God's. To join our church family by professing your faith in Jesus Christ, I invite you to get in touch with me. My email, just email me at the church if you're watching us online, or talk with me after the service if you've never been baptized and professed your faith in Jesus. Or you can talk to Brother Nick too. He'd love to visit with you about that too. If you would like to transfer your letter and join Asbury from another church family, you're welcome to do that as we sing our final hymn, number 141 in the hymnal, Children of the Heavenly Father. Thank you.
Thanks for worshiping with us today, and next Sunday we're going to continue this series, and we're going to start looking at kind of particular groups of people and how we welcome them into God's family. Next Sunday we're going to have this, it's the second best known story in the whole Bible, and that is the story of the Good Samaritan, and we'll talk about what it means for how we reach across cultural barriers to welcome others into God's family. We want to encourage you to come back for that as well. Would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, amen. One thing that I do want to lift up to your attention, we do want to be in prayer for the family of Kurt Bogan, Reverend Kurt Bogan, who served at Highland Valley for so many years and was pastor at Canvas Community. Reverend Bogan passed away this week. We also want to lift up my friend Mark Norman, who is the current pastor at Highland Valley. He's at home recovering from surgery, and so please keep him and his family. It seems like there's another. Are you aware of anybody?
No, sir.
Okay. At least those two, and then the one that's unspoken. But go forth with Christ. Amen.